Welcome to the first episode of Siren Oink. Today we're going to learn about use of force by police officers and sheriff deputies. When can force be used and how much force can be used? Okay. First, let's talk about an arrest. In a perfect world, a peace officer, by the way, is anybody that enforces the law. Let's say a sheriff deputy or police officer tells someone to put their hands behind their back, they're under arrest. That person is under arrest. How many times do you have to tell that person, by the way? I ask this question all the time. How many times do you have to tell someone that they're under arrest? The answer is one time. There is no debate on the side of the road. There's no court that takes place on the sidewalk. When an officer tells you you're under arrest, you are under arrest, okay? That you do not have to be in handcuffs. If they verbally tell you you're under arrest, then you are under arrest, okay? So whether you're in handcuffs, or you take off running or whatever it may be, you're under arrest once they tell you you're under arrest, okay? So a lot of people think, well, if I'm not in handcuffs, I'm technically not under arrest, so I can just take off running. That's not true, okay? So in a perfect world, an officer will say, put your hands behind your back, you're under arrest. The person does that, their handcuffs are put on, they're taken to the station or jail, and that's the end of story, and they go to court later and have their case heard. Today, we're going to talk about the people that don't do that, okay? The people that actually resist. So there's two types of resistors, active resistors and passive resistors, okay? What is an active resistor and what is a passive resistor, and what kind of force can be used against these types of people, okay? So an active resistor is an individual that is violent or poses a threat of violence, okay? I'll give you some examples. A man pointing a gun at a peace officer. That's a pretty bad situation to be in if you're the peace officer, okay? The individual has not actually used violence at this point, right? But a gun pointed at you is a pretty serious threat of violence, probably the most serious threat of violence that could be, okay? So again, a man pointing a gun at a peace officer, active resistor. A man in a fighting stance. A man actually fighting with the officer. Or a man verbally telling a peace officer he's going to fight them if they touch him, okay? That is an active resistor. What is a passive resistor? Again, this is somebody who is, again, resisting arrest. They're not going with the program, but they're not being violent. There's no threat of violence, okay? Examples would be peaceful protester hugging a tree or chaining themselves to a fence, simply not putting their hands behind their back. Another one, a man who you're telling, hey, put your hands behind your back, and he curls up into a ball and refuses, kind of like locks his arm under his armpits or rolls over onto his stomach, refusing to give his or her hands to the officers, okay? Another one is a group of people who lock arms and refuse to leave a business. So as you tug on them and try to get them in cuffs, they're hugging even tighter, not letting their arms come unlocked. Okay, again, so that's a passive resistor, non-violent. But both active and passive, they're both resisting arrest. Okay, so what kind of force can we use against these types of people? Okay, so an active resistor. And I'm going to give you all the types of force that can be used and then tell you which ones fit here in a second. So active resistors can be punched. They can be kicked. They can be hit with a taser. They can be shot with a gun. They can be hit with a baton. They can be pepper sprayed. They can even be run over with a vehicle. A lot of people go, what? Run over with a vehicle? Yeah. If it's a deadly force situation, does it matter if you shoot them with a gun or stab them with a knife or run them over with a car? If you have authorized, if you're authorized to use deadly force, then it doesn't matter how it's done, right? We're going to talk about what type of force here in a second. So when I say punch, kick, tase, baton, run them over the car, when can that happen? The general rule is officers are allowed to use one step above the suspect. So I'll give you some examples. If the suspect says, I'm going to fight you if you touch me, they're verbally telling you. At that point, or they actually start fighting you, at that point you can get out a taser, hit him with the taser, hit him with the baton, you can pepper spray him, right? You can punch him, kick him, right? You're allowed to use equal to one step above the suspect. So I'll give you an example. If a suspect gets in a fighting stance and you immediately get out your gun and shoot him, that's not generally going to be accepted, okay? That's going to be an abuse of power, abuse of force, okay? Now, is that all the time? The answer is no. There are times where someone gets into a fighting stance or attacks an officer physically, and the sheriff deputy or officer is allowed to shoot them. I'll give you an example. I'm 6'6", 300 pounds, and I'm pretty strong. I'm stronger than most of the people out there walking around on this earth, okay? If I attack you and you're average size, I am going to maul you like a grizzly bear. And imagine if I get a hold of a female officer who weighs, 120 pounds, and I've, played football my whole life, you know, power lifted my whole life, and I'm 6'6" and 300 pounds, the female officer does not stand a chance. Does not stand a chance. A smaller male officer does not stand a chance. I will maul you like a grizzly bear. So if I attack you and your taser doesn't work, or you hit me with a baton, I mean, I'll be honest with you, you hit me with a baton, I'm going to take it from you and use it as a toothpick, right? It's not going to bother me. You pepper spray me, it's just going to make me more mad, okay? So a lot of people need to understand that when unarmed individuals get shot, it doesn't always mean a bad use of force by the officer or deputy, okay? There are times where deadly force can be used against someone who's physically attacking somebody. And I'll just give you an example. I always tell my students, like I said, I teach this for a living. If I attack you, you probably have about 30 seconds to live. And I'm just being honest. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a bit less. But you have about 30 seconds. I'm either going to strangle you or, you know, break your skull open with my bare hands or grab an object and smash you with it. There's no way you're getting away from me. So you have about 30 seconds to survive. So if you were to shoot me with your gun, that is going to be very much a justified shooting. Now that brings us to the next thing. What is justified and what is unjustified? Okay. Justified means the officer or deputy did their job. Justified means they're not going to face criminal charges. They're not, you know, they're not going to be sued. The department will back them up if they are sued. They're not going to get fired. Okay. They're not going to get terminated. Unjustified means the officer or deputy used poor use of force, inappropriate use of force, and they face those three things. They face being terminated, fired. They face being prosecuted, right? Possible jail time. And they face also being sued. Okay. So that's the difference between justified and unjustified. So when you hear the incident was justified, that means it was appropriate or good use of force by the officer. Okay. If they say it's unjustified, that means inappropriate or poor use of force by the officer or deputy. Okay. So again, 90% of the time, 95% of the time, if someone gets into a fighting stance, it's not a good idea just to pull out your gun and shoot the individual. You're probably going to face prosecution. You're going to face those three things I mentioned. However, there are exceptions. Again, smaller male officer, female officer, a guy my size, a guy with my strength, especially if I had some kind of fighting skill, you would not stand a chance in a one-on-one fight, okay? You would have to go probably two levels up in order to subdue me, okay? But the general rule is usually one step above. So again, if a guy or girl gets into a fighting stance, you're allowed to equally fight them or move up to a taser, baton, or pepper spray. If they get out a knife, you can get out a gun. If they get out a gun, you get out a bigger gun. That's the general rule for active resistors, okay? What about a passive resistor? This is the one that's most complicated that we see, especially after 2020. People go, oh, they can't do that. They should be doing this. They should be doing that. The general rule for passive resistors, again, somebody who is not violent, not posing a threat, would be someone hugging a tree, chaining themselves to a fence, locking arms with each other. We've seen a lot of this in 2020. What kind of force can we be used? Okay, so pressure points, right? Putting pressure points behind their ears, in their, you know, on their jaw. You press just a little bit, like I'm doing it right now to myself, and it hurts. It's like, ah, it hurts pretty bad, right? So pressure points, it doesn't look bad on television. Like I had a supervisor once tell me years ago, the last thing you want on the news is you just swinging this baton over and over again on somebody who's passive. Or raising your fist into the news, you know, people at home watching the news seeing you punch this person over and over again who's simply locking arms with somebody. That's inappropriate. That's going to be poor use of force. And unfortunately, we saw that a little bit in 2020. What kind of force can you use on somebody who's passive? Again, pepper spray. You know, we saw the tear gas. All that is completely appropriate. Once you're told you're violating a lawful order, pepper spray is allowed to be used. Tear gas is allowed to be used. Wrist locks or elbow locks. Pressure points, that kind of stuff is allowed to be used. The question always comes up, what about a taser? I always say, the taser is the last resort. That means you've gone through the tear gas, you've gone through the pepper spray, you've gone through the pressure points, you've gone through a wrist lock or an elbow lock. You're trying to, you know, basically cause pain that's not permanent. If all that fails, then yes, possibly the taser can be used. But you can never punch, kick, baton, running somebody over the car. You can't do that to a passive resistor. That is reserved for active resistors. Okay. Again, then once somebody becomes active, I'll give another example. What if somebody's active and then they become passive? Okay. Officers and deputies are supposed to adjust to that as well. If someone's active and then they give up and lay on the ground, basically making a snow angel, an asphalt angel on the ground, You can't just keep punching and kicking somebody. You then have to treat them as a passive resistor. If they become active again, then you raise your level of force to be active. It has to go back and forth. So that's the difference between active and passive, justified and unjustified. Okay? I'm going to give you an example here real quick, and you guys make a decision, and then I'll give you the answer. It says, peace officers respond to a call of a man swinging a knife in front of a 7-Eleven. As officers arrive, the man approaches the officers and tells them he's going to kill everyone. So is this person active or passive? This person is active. They're verbally threatening people, okay? That makes them an active resistor. So again, same scenario. What kind of force are you allowed to use? This one here, the scenario says, a peace officer tases the man and the man drops the knife. The officers run in and handcuff the man. They take him into custody. Was the force used justified? And the answer is yes. Why is it justified? He has a deadly weapon. He has a knife. You can be stabbed very quickly. I give demonstrations in my class all the time. We do hands-on demonstrations with knife attacks. We use different kinds of Nerf guns and things to demonstrate how fast things happen. A knife is a deadly weapon. I get so sick of hearing people say, you know, the person had a knife and they were 10 feet away. That person can cut you, rush you, and stab you within a split second. Less than a second, they could be stabbing you. So when people say the knife is not a deadly weapon, I don't know what else to say to that. I can prove it over and over again that it absolutely is a deadly weapon. Okay. So are the officers allowed to tase him? Absolutely. They technically could have shot him. Okay. They technically could have shot this guy. So they chose to tase him. So they actually went on the same level, if not below the level of the knife. Okay. So, you don't want to say they did him a favor, but they definitely did him a favor by not shooting him, right? Because they could have. They tased him. So this is absolutely allowed. It's a justified use of force. Okay. Scenario number two. Peace officers respond to a domestic violence call. When the officers arrive, they notice a man and a woman arguing. When the officers ask them to separate, the man raises his fist and gets into a fighting stance. He tells the officers he's not going back to jail. Is he active or passive? This guy is going to be active. Okay. He's in a fighting stance. He also says he's not going back to jail. That's his way of saying, if you touch me, we're going to fight. Okay. So same scenario. He tells the officers he's not going back to jail. The man runs at the officers and starts punching them. The officers take out their batons and strike the man in the legs and arms 3 times. He then gives up and he is arrested. Is this justified or unjustified? The answer, totally justified. He's in a fighting stance. He starts punching the officers. They use their batons. They went one step above. They didn't go two. They didn't shoot him. They didn't run him over the car. You know, they didn't stab him. They struck him with the baton. It's completely legal and very justified. And notice when they were done hitting him, he gave up. He was arrested. They stopped hitting him. Okay. So if they kept going after that, then we would have a problem, right? Number three, a group of women tied themselves to a fence at a farm to protest animal cruelty. The officers untied them and told them to put their hands behind their back. All the women locked arms and refused to put their hands behind their back. Are they active or passive? In this scenario, they are passive. They are passive. They pose no threat at this point. Okay. The officers in this scenario, the peace officers hit the women in the legs and arms with their batons until they gave up and put their hands behind their back. Is this justified or unjustified? This one is unjustified. We are not striking peaceful protesters with batons. Now, once they become active, then yes, you can strike them with the batons. So if they start kicking themselves or punching themselves or throwing stuff at the officers, they have now become active resistors. But in this scenario, they're not. They are passive. So we need to use pressure points, wrist locks, pepper spray, tear gas, things of this nature to get them out of the area. Number four, a man is running in traffic and seems to be mentally ill. Officers respond and ask the man to sit down on the curb. The man curls up into a ball and starts screaming and crying. Is he active or passive? He's passive, okay? Poses no threat at this point to the officers. Same scenario. The officers tell the man over 5 times to put his hands behind his back. He does not comply. He keeps rocking back and forth, screaming and crying. The officers hit them with their batons until the man puts his hands behind their back. Is this justified or unjustified? This is unjustified. He is a passive resistor. He poses no threat at this point. He's clearly having a bad day. The last thing we want to see is the officers striking them with their batons. This would be inappropriate and unjustified use of force. Scenario number five. Officers respond to a domestic violence call. As the officers arrive, a man comes out from the apartment holding a knife. He immediately runs at the officer saying he's going to kill them. So in this scenario, what kind of force can you use? Clearly, he's an active resistor. Okay, he has a knife and he's running at the officers saying he's going to kill them. So we have several different levels to the active resistor. Okay, so what type of force would you use? Some people are going to say, well, I'd like to try to tase him. If you can tase him and you survive that event, congratulations, but that's going to be a stupid move. If you don't have something like a car in between you or a fence in between you and you try to tase him, if that taser doesn't work or the taser misses, you're going to die. The appropriate use of force, as sad as it is shooting the suspect. Now, do we shoot the individual to kill? People always think, you know, shoot to kill. That is not true. Officers use the amount of force that is reasonable to effect an arrest. That's it. You use whatever force is reasonable to effect the arrest. Officers are trained to shoot center mass. What does that mean? It means the biggest part of the body, the chest and stomach area. People go, well, I don't understand why they can't shoot that. I mean, this is where it gets to be a joke. I have actual adults in my classes say, well, I don't understand. Why couldn't they shoot the knife out of his hand? I mean, couldn't you have done some flying kick and kicked it out of his hand? I mean, the stuff that comes out of people's mouth is outrageous, okay? It's absolutely outrageous. It's not possible. Why do they teach officers to shoot towards the torso, the center mass? Guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. Officers are not the best shots. A good half of the officers walking around the streets right now with guns don't do a very good job at the range shooting paper targets from a short distance away. That's a fact. Sad, but true. So to ask most officers to shoot the knife or gun or something out of somebody's hand is outrageous. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen, especially with a moving target, okay? So they teach you center mass because it's the biggest area with the most vital organs. Now, if you shoot the individual and he goes down and collapses, you don't keep shooting him. The shooting must stop. Once the threat is gone, then your force in response must also be gone, okay? If he gets back up and starts charging again, then you shoot again until the individual goes back down and either drops the knife or gets in a point where he doesn't look like a threat anymore, okay? So officers don't shoot to kill. That's never been trained. The stuff that comes out of people's mouth is laughable. Officers do not shoot to kill. They shoot until the threat is gone. Once the threat is gone, they must move in and effect the arrest. So if the officer goes stands over the individual and finishes shooting the rest of his rounds out of his gun magazine, then we have a serious problem. We went from justified to then unjustified. Okay, so as long as they use whatever force to effect the arrest or stop the threat, it is a justified use of force, which means the officer did their job. A lot of people seem to think that if an officer or deputy shoots somebody, that the officer is in trouble. That's not true. It's like a tool for any, you know, it's like giving an officer a gun and tell him you better not ever use the gun. That makes no sense. We give these people power to protect and keep society safe. If they're not allowed to use their guns, then why give them guns at all? Okay, so people have a lot of misinformation out there on when officers are allowed to use their guns. So yes, an officer is allowed to use their gun with somebody with a baseball bat, somebody with a metal pipe, somebody with a knife, a big heavy chair. These are all deadly weapons. We saw recently an officer that was hit over the head with a fire extinguisher, and he later died at the hospital. So someone holding a metal fire extinguisher is a deadly weapon. And it's amazing how many people don't know that. If I hit you over the head with a baseball bat, it's going to seriously injure you or kill you, okay? So that's scenario number 5. Number 6, officers respond to a call of a mentally ill man walking in the street. As the officers try to speak with the man, he gets into a fighting stance and says he's going to break their face, okay? What would you use? What would you do in this situation? Okay, this is an active resistor, okay? He's in a fighting stance, says he's going to break their face. So we can choose to fight them equally with either punching or kicking them ourselves, or we can also go one step up, which is taser, baton, pepper spray. We are allowed to punch these people. A lot of people think, oh, you can't punch them there. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So many people are misinformed about what kind of force you can use. Now, could you get out a gun and shoot this individual? 99% of the time, no, absolutely not. The best use of force is basically, if you have enough officers there, is to simply grab this guy, get him to the ground. There's this joking term, it's used all over the country. It's called gang fu. It's not like kung fu, but gang fu. Gang fu requires no skill whatsoever. You simply pile onto somebody, get them down, get them cuffed, and then bring them up into the recovery position. When we see people die from a gang foo, it's because the officers were sitting on their backs for far too long. Okay, you cannot sit on somebody's back while they're on the ground. When their chest is pressed against the ground and you're on their back, you're only allowed to be on there long enough to get them handcuffed, and then it's over. Okay, it's called the gang foo. We're going to talk about the gang foo later on in regards to George Floyd and some other individuals as well, and why individuals are dying from the gang foo. The gang foo is very safe. The gang foo is very safe, but as long as it's used properly. Obviously, in George Floyd's case, it was used very poorly. Extremely, extremely poor use of force in that particular scenario. Well, we're going to discover that, or discuss that another day. Number seven, officers respond to a man making snow angels in the middle of the road. Okay, so he's in the middle of a major intersection making, asphalt angels or concrete angels, but, like a snow angel. Officers ask the man to put his hands behind his back. He refuses and keeps making snow angels. What kind of force would you use? So this person, active or passive? Okay, they're passive. So what would we do? Again, I like the idea of the gang foo. He's not posing a threat. Get a couple officers in there, turn him over physically, just physically overpower the guy and get him cuffed. If that doesn't work, then we use pressure points, wrist locks, maybe even pepper spray. Okay, but first we should try what we call modified gang foo, which is simply just a bunch of force, a bunch of weight, getting on the guy, flipping him over and getting him cuffed, bringing him into the recovery position. Okay, so again, what did we discuss today? When can officers use force? What type of force can they use? And then what type of resistors are there? There's active and there's passive. How many times are you told to be, that you're under arrest? The answer is one time. One time. So many people seem to think that they can argue their arrest. That's for court. It's sorry that you're under arrest and you feel offended or you're upset by it or whatever it may be. Once you're told you're under arrest, it's then argued in court. Not on the street, not on the sidewalk, okay? So again, thanks for listening to the first episode of Siren Oink. Again, we're going to discuss more issues down the road as well.